Program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
I would like to report back to you that I believe the agency is on a very even keel, sailing well. I honestly believe that we have improved dramatically.
Porter Goss resigns as director of the CIA. The president nominates four-star General Michael Hayden to head the civilian agency. As NSA chief, Hayden oversaw the warrantless domestic spy program, which many say is illegal. Then Professor Bob McChesney on the telecommunications bill.
The new revisions of the Telecom Act that are being considered in Congress, if passed this year, would fundamentally change the Internet, turning it from a public resource to a privatized commodity owned and operated by two large industrial sectors.
And part two of our interview with Stephen Kinzer on Overthrow, America's Century of Regime Change from Hawaii to Iraq.
Chile is another one of those cases where we overthrew a leader who in many ways embraced and represented American principles, and we replaced him with a tyrant who despised everything the United States stands for.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Bush has nominated four-star General Michael Hayden to become the new director of the CIA to replace Porter Goss, who abruptly resigned Friday afternoon. Hayden was the director of the National Security Agency in 2001 when President Bush ordered the NSA to begin conducting domestic surveillance without court warrants required by law. Numerous lawmakers have already expressed concern over Hayden's nomination because of his close ties to the military. This is Republican Congressman Pete Hoekstra, head of the House Intelligence Committee.
I've got a lot of respect for Mike Hayden. I think he's done a very good job in the positions that he's had. He's got a distinguished career. Bottom line, I do believe he's the wrong person, the wrong place, at the wrong time. We should not have a military person leading a civilian agency at this time.
Hoekstra speaking on Fox. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi also questioned President Bush's nominee.
I have serious concerns about General Hayden. First of all, he's too closely tied to this question of domestic surveillance, which should be looked into, but not in the course of a confirmation hearing for the head of the Central Intelligence Agency. But I hearken back to what I said before. There's a power struggle going on between the Department of Defense and the entire rest of the intelligence community. So I don't see how you have a four-star general heading up the CIA.
Pelosi was speaking on NBC's Meet the Press. Questions still remain over why Porter Goss resigned from the CIA. Neither Goss nor President Bush have publicly given any reason for the resignation. On Saturday, Goss told CNN his departure is, quote, just one of those mysteries. Goss quit just days after it was revealed that one of his top appointees within the agency was under a federal criminal investigation. The official Kyle Dusty Fago has been linked to a defense contractor bribery scandal that has already sent former Republican Congressmember Duke Cunningham to jail. It's been alleged a military contractor named Brent Wilkes bribed Cunningham and other lawmakers with prostitutes, limousines rides, and free rooms at the Watergate and Grand Westin hotels. In Iraq, at least 80 people have died since Saturday. A series of car bombings in Baghdad and Karbala killed 30 people Sunday. Another 51 bodies were found in the capital. All of the dead were handcuffed, blindfolded, and shot in the head and abdomen. Meanwhile, in Basra, a British Army helicopter was shot down, killing up to five soldiers. After the helicopter crashed, a crowd of over 300 Iraqis celebrated at the crash scene. Iraqi police said five Iraqis, including a child, were killed after British forces opened fire on the crowd, which had been hurling stones and Molotov cocktails at the soldiers. The fighting marked the most intense anti-British riots in Basra since August of 2003. In other news from Iraq, the Los Angeles Times reports at least 4,100 civilians were killed in Baghdad during the first 3 months of the year. Many of the dead were found hogtied and shot execution style. Many bore signs of torture, such as bruises, drill holes, burn marks, gouged eyes, or severed limbs. Execution-style killings are now claiming 9 times more lives than car bombings. In Britain, Prime Minister Tony Blair has demoted Foreign Secretary Jack Straw shortly after he spoke out against a possible U.S.-led attack on Iran. Straw had described such an attack as nuts. Several reports in the British press allege the White House pressured Blair to get rid of Straw. Straw was sacked just days after Blair's Labour Party recorded its worst defeats in local elections since coming to power in 1997. This news out of Iran, for the first time in 27 years, an Iranian head of state is reaching out to an American president to discuss U.S.-Iranian relations. The Iranian government announced today President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has sent a letter to President Bush via the Swiss embassy in Tehran. The Iranian government did not release the text of the letter, but said Ahmadinejad discussed, quote, new solutions for getting out of international problems and the current fragile situation of the world. Iran sent the letter as the U.S. is pushing the U.N. Security Council motion to censure Iran for refusing to cease enrichment of uranium. John Bolton, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, warned he would push through a resolution even if it's not supported by China or Russia.
We are still working, and we met earlier today as 5 permanent members to achieve unanimity. But let's be clear, if a permanent member abstains, if we otherwise have a 9-vote majority, the resolution will be adopted. So we're not prepared to extend these negotiations endlessly. We're working very hard to achieve Perm 5 unanimity, but we're prepared to go to a vote without it. Yeah.
That was U.N. Ambassador John Bolton. In Sudan, a peace deal has been signed between the Sudanese government and the Sudan Liberation Army. 2 smaller opposition groups refused to sign the deal, which was brokered by the African Union. Over the past 3 years, fighting's killed at least 180,000 people, forced 2 million people from their homes. This is U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan.
I welcome the agreement signed between the government of Sudan and the main rebel group at the inter-Sudanese talks in Abuja. I urge the other 2 parties to seize this historic moment and sign the agreement that will bring this tragic chapter in the history of Sudan to an end.
A British aid organization is warning girls as young as 8 years old are being sexually exploited in Liberia by humanitarian workers and peacekeeping troops stationed at refugee camps. According to the group Save the Children, the aid workers are forcing the girls to have sex in exchange for food, money, and clothing. At the United Nations, the Bush administration is being forced to defend its treatment of detainees captured in the so-called War on Terror. On Friday, the UN Committee Against Torture began reviewing U.S. compliance with international treaties barring torture. The panel raised questions about abuse inside Iraqi prisons, extraordinary renditions, and the CIA's secret overseas jails. A representative from China asked, quote, where would you put such methods as interrogation by mock drownings, as torture, or as other forms of cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment? State Department legal advisor John Bellinger denied the U.S. is torturing prisoners in Iraq, Afghanistan, or at Guantanamo Bay.
At the outset, I want to reiterate the United States government's absolute commitment to upholding our national and international obligations to eradicate torture and to prevent cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment worldwide. The President of the United States has made clear that, quote, torture anywhere is an affront to human dignity everywhere, end quote, and that, quote, freedom from torture is an inalienable human right.
The State Department's John Bellinger also described many of the allegations of abuse at the hands of U.S. forces as absurd.
While I am acutely aware of the innumerable allegations that have appeared in the press and in other fora about various U.S. actions, I would ask you not to believe every allegation that you have heard. Allegations about U.S. military or intelligence activities have become so hyperbolic as to be absurd. Critics will now accept virtually any speculation and rumor and circulate them as fact. The U.S. government has attempted to address as many of these allegations as quickly and as fully as possible.
That was the State Department's John Bellinger. Meanwhile, the U.S. has released five Chinese Muslim men from Guantanamo, more than 2 years after the Pentagon determined they had no ties to terrorists. The Bush administration said the men could not be sent back to China out of fear they would be persecuted. Last week, Albania agreed to take the men. On Thursday, lawyers made public a letter one of the men wrote to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice in January. The men identified as Ahmed Doe wrote, quote, "It's very hard to understand that I am still languishing in a prison with very little rights even after being found innocent." He went on to write, quote, "It's beyond my reasoning that a nation like the United States that has an agenda to promote and protect democratic rights of the oppressed people would treat anyone the way I have been treated." And President Bush has told a German television station that he would like to see Guantanamo Bay closed if the Supreme Court allows suspects to be tried by military tribunals. Meanwhile, in another interview with the German press, President Bush was questioned about the high point of his presidency. Bush said, quote, "I would say the best moment of all was when I caught a 7.5-pound perch in my leg." In Virginia, an exonerated death row prisoner who came within 9 days of being executed has been awarded $2.25 million. A jury determined the man, Earl Washington, was put on death row because a police officer deliberately falsified evidence. Washington's lawyers say this marks the largest award in a federal civil rights case in Virginia history. Washington spent 9 years on death row before his sentence was commuted. And in Afghanistan, 10 U.S. soldiers have died after their helicopter crashed. All of the soldiers were based at Fort Drum in New York. In Greece, tens of thousands of protesters marched in Athens Saturday to condemn the Iraq invasion and a possible U.S. attack on Iran. According to press accounts, one small group of protesters fired petrol bombs and stones at the police outside the U.S. embassy. Riot police responded with tear gas. And the Indonesian author Permeja Anantatur has died at the age of 81. A lifelong dissident, Permeja spent years in prison under both the Dutch and Suharto regimes. His best-known work is the Buru Quartet. It tells the story of a young political activist coming of age under Dutch colonial rule. After a U.S.-backed coup, Permeja spent 14 years doing hard labor at the Buru Island penal colony, which he chronicled in his memoir, The Mute Soliloquy. I interviewed him a decade ago.
Data tentu saya buat untuk menghadapi kemungkinan saya.
I wrote them because I always thought that I could very well die on that island, either naturally or be murdered.
Jadi itu ditulis.
So I wrote only in times when the military was out of the scene.
Begitu selesai ditulis, langsung disembunyikan.
As soon as I had finished one section, I'd hide it as quickly as possible, for I knew that it would become both my judge and executioner if they were found. So I never had the chance to read them again. I hid them, and then whenever possible, had them smuggled off the island.
Diselundupkan keluar.
Indonesian writer and dissident Permeja Anantatur, dead at the age of 81. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.